Okay. Wonderful. Well, Maureen's just arrived, so we'll get going. Where do I begin? Where do I begin? We have just had a very remarkable retreat. A number of us were in Stone in Staffordshire for a retreat. I think there were somewhere between 15 and 20 of us at various times. And whoa, I don't know where to start, but what I want to say is this: we gathered together for, well, we had no agenda really. I mean, we've said that before in Foundations, and I think somehow we've managed to come up with some bit of agenda before we've arrived. But I think this truly was the one where we had no idea why we'd been gathered, but it felt to me like we'd been gathered. The Lord had gathered us, and he had very much a plan of what he wanted to do. So one of the key themes, there were many things coming out, but for me, one of the key themes that came through was about listening to God. And we started last week with the topic of my house shall be a house of prayer. And we discussed some of this over the weekend. And again, one of the things that came out for me was that's obviously a reference from Isaiah 56, which then Jesus quotes in Matthew. And if you think about the context of what Jesus was doing, he went into the temple and he was aghast at all the money changers, all the noise, all the, it was like a marketplace. And so Jesus said that famous quote, "My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves or den of robbers." And so if you think about what Jesus was doing, he was clearing out all the distractions, all the things that were shouldn't have been there, so that people could listen and pray to God. And that came through as a bit of a theme in the week or during the weekend. And so I want to spend some time tonight listening and then responding to what God has said. So that's prayer. But I don't want to necessarily just use the word prayer, because sometimes when I say that, people have a misconception about what prayer is. People just believe it's just talking. But I know many of us here know that it's more than that. So we're going to listen together, and then we're going to start sharing what's on our hearts. And because there's quite a number here, there's 18 of us at least at the minute, we'll start to gather that. Now, what I would say to you is, please, we need to have some sort of self-control here, because if we all share our hearts, there might be 50 topics that come up. So what we want to do is to take some time first to quiet together, to just ask the Lord if there's something that he has laid on our hearts. Then what we will do after a short time of pausing is we'll come back and we'll open it up to see who thinks the Lord is saying something to them. And then what we'll do is we'll pause again as we try to think of all the things that have been shared. Where should we go? And then we'll start praying and talking and discussing and bringing scriptures to bear on what we think the Lord is saying. Okay? So don't worry if you forget all that. I will try and guide us through. But I just wanted to give you an outline of where we're heading. So the point of tonight, I think, is listening. Are we really prepared to listen and then respond to what God is saying? It requires a little bit of discipline. We need to quieten our own thoughts and hearts so that we don't get clouded out. We also have to be confident in his ability to speak. And as we discussed at the weekend, The emphasis should always be on his ability to speak rather than our ability to hear. Because when we focus on can I hear or can I not, am I able to hear what God is saying, we're putting the emphasis on our own self. It's self-reliance. What we must do as we listen is trust him to speak, and trust him to speak when he's ready. And sometimes that takes time, and sometimes that's okay, because God's in control and God knows what he's doing. He's not wasting our time. He's not playing games with us. If we have to wait for him to speak, then there's a good purpose in it. So let's all come at this with a lightness. I don't want this to be heavy in any way. We're trusting our Father. We're here as his children, saying, Father, speak to us. And then I'm trusting that collectively we'll start to hear what he's saying. Now, the other thing I would say as we start this tonight as well, please be honest. If you feel that we're going in the wrong direction, then don't be afraid to say so. Okay? We're all trying to learn, and I want us to feel safe to interject and say, I'm not sure if that's the right way. We'll all make mistakes. Some of us will maybe go down a path we shouldn't go down. That's okay. But please be open to us steering it away to something that we feel is where it needs to be. So I'm hoping we'll enjoy this tonight. I'm hoping that we'll get a real sense of God speaking to us, because prayer meetings shouldn't be boring. They shouldn't be dull. They should be some of the most exciting, the most exciting thing we can do together. When we hear from God, when we pray into something that he has laid on our hearts according to his will, and then we see the result of our prayer. That's exciting. So let's pray with expectation tonight that God's going to do things. Okay, it's probably plenty for me to get us going. So let's just pause now for a few minutes and let's just ask the Lord, what's on his heart? What's on his heart? And then we'll come back in a few minutes and share. If you feel led in any direction, please then share it with us. And then we'll pause again to assess and weigh where we think the Lord's taking us. So if you want to turn off your screens, feel free. If you want to turn off your microphones, that's fine. We'll come back in a few minutes. Okay. So we had a second for the screens to come back on.
Barry, could I quickly ask, please, what do you mean if something is wrong? Should we say that if we're going in the wrong direction? I don't understand what you mean.
If you just feel that we're going off, because we very much want to operate as a body this evening. So if you just sense in your spirit that we're going off in the wrong direction, then don't be afraid to just raise that.
Thank you.
So we're all in this together. What I would say before I open the floor is please be self-controlled. So this is not about just raising hobby horses. This is about trying to discern what God is saying. So be cautious. But don't be overcautious. If the Lord is prompting you, please have confidence to speak. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to open the floor. If you feel there's something the Lord has laid clearly on your heart, then please feel free. Just unmute yourself and share what's on your heart. And then I want to leave the floor open If you want to make a comment, because this is, I think this is key, is that now that we've listened, we're listening, we've had a time of silence listening to the Lord, but now we want to listen to the Lord through what other people are saying. So if we detect the Lord saying something, then if you want to make a further comment on what somebody else has said, then please, again, just unmute yourself and go forward. So I want us now to be filled free. Don't tense up. It's now just about, let's see where we go with what the Lord is saying. So if you want to share something now, just unmute yourself and we'll take it from there.
Can I start in Barry?
Please go ahead.
And I'm jumping in with both feet because a lot of that time I sat here and I was hearing nothing from the Lord and I was getting desperate. So my nature came in and I thought, I'm going to look at a psalm. Mm. And I went to the Bible to look at the psalm and it wasn't where I expected to find it because I was looking at the at the Bible, the chronological one, so that's not in order, so I couldn't find it. And when I found it, it was totally inappropriate. And then I just sat and said, oh, Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? And he said, if you are searching how to pray, I told you how to pray. And then that brought the Lord's Prayer into my mind and how it was laid out for us. And I can't say any more than that. That was pretty much where I got it. It's not a formula. I know we're beware of formulas, but our Lord was asked specifically, teach us how to pray. And it doesn't have to take a formal thing, but he has given us an outline of how we should be praying. Amen. I don't know if that's helpful, but that's what came to me. And feel please ignore it if it's not, you know, that doesn't echo in your spirit.
No, thank you, Betty. I'm getting some sense it might be. Does anybody want to follow on from that, what Betty said?
Just to say that when we're sort of seeking the Lord and we're just sitting as we have been, just quietly waiting, when it's particularly regard to prayer, I think I find that it's when we're actually praying and listening to other people praying that we pick up on what they're saying, and something in their prayer is quickened to us and we can follow in on in that theme. Amen. Rather than just, and it's that for me, where we tend to listen to other what God is saying in how other people are praying, and something just seems to be quickened to us and something doesn't.
Amen. I agree. And it's good though sometimes just to pause to try get the starting point, and that's really where we're starting tonight. And I think we've got it because it's very much in line with what we were discussing at the weekend. Let me just share with you a bit of a testimony from the weekend, which is the five of us sort of gathered in a room to pray together. And one of the first things that we said was, Lord, teach us to pray. And we found ourselves, I find myself praying in a way I've never really prayed before. Or it certainly was one of the most enlightening prayer times I've had, because what happened was there were five of us, and Steve was one of them. And then David Andrew, I think, joined us towards the end. And what happened was we just started to talk about things that were on our heart. And then seamlessly, we just went straight in to praying without really any formality, or it was just, we just started praying and it was so real. And then someone else, that would spark, as Lynn has just said, that would spark somebody else off with saying something. And then we'd pray. It was just completely guided by the Holy Spirit. And it was a wonderful time. And that is, in some sense, my heart's desire would be for the same for this evening. So thank you for sharing that, Betty. Thank you for being brave. And thank you, Lynn, for your follow-up comment, because I think they're both very much in line with my thoughts and my heart. Well, was anybody else like to comment?
Yes, can I just say something?
Yes.
It's not quite the same as that. Perhaps I've missed the point of what we're supposed to be doing. When you said about listening to God, the scripture that just was quickened to me was, you know, if anyone hears my voice, which is a scripture we all know very well in Revelation 3, but I just went to it and was looking at it afresh. Because the Lord is saying, you know, so when I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice, and it was that if anyone hears my voice that just really I was pondering on, you know, it's not about, you know, being born again and all that stuff. It's outside the church, isn't he? And he's talking to individuals here. Yes. If anyone hears my voice, I will come into him and dine with him, which means close fellowship, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And he with me. And I was just meditating on that verse because I think it's one we know so well. We sometimes just forget about it, or we think we know it, but actually that's just, I think we misunderstand it.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the Lord is obviously talking to Laodicea, and also the verse before, those whom I love I reprove and discipline and be zealous and repent. And I think it's about, you know, really being open to the Lord, not being, you know, lukewarm, not thinking, well, they're very the church was very sort of self-important, wasn't it? Thought it had everything. So just that verse really that I just felt the Lord was saying about being really open to him, to hearing his voice. And then he will come in, he will fellowship with us, and we will fellowship with him.
Caroline, were you listening to Steve's blog this afternoon by any chance?
No.
Praise God.
Why did he say the same thing?
Well, that was a very key verse from the Friday night of the retreat.
Okay, I haven't listened to it.
And as I was laying out the chairs for us gathering together, the Lord said to me, and I, you know, sometimes you think, is that really you, Lord? I was setting out the chairs and he said, make a table. And so I put together a table. I think everyone was joking that it looked like a boardroom, but in my heart, it was a dinner table. And some of us sat at the table, some of us sat around the table. There was chairs around the sides of the room. Some sat there, some sat at the table. And as the discussion ensued, we had such a wonderful time together sharing. And then at the very end, one of the things we were sensing the Lord was saying was about listening to him and letting him in. And the password for the Wi-Fi for the place we were in was, please let me in. And we sensed that was basically God's confirming what he was saying to us in that verse, the Revelation 3:20. And what does it say about, if anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. And I think God was saying, I'm inviting you to dinner, or should I say, will you invite me to dinner with you at this table?
Praise God.
So this is remarkable. This is, I've just, Father, thank you. Father, thank you, Lord, for speaking Lord, speaking both this weekend and this evening through your body. Father, why do we get so amazed at your miraculous provision, at the way that you speak, your spirit is speaking? And why are we so surprised when you speak with one voice? Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to listen to you, Lord, because when we listen, Lord, you speak. And we can hear your voice. When we cut out the distractions, we can hear your voice, and then we can respond. So, Father, I thank you for my three sisters, Lord, who have all been listening and have heard your voice. Father, thank you. Lord, show us what we should do now. Lord, lead us through the rest of this evening. Lord, give us ears to hear, as it says, two verses down, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I think one of the things that's impressing itself in me, even as I listen tonight, and certainly over the weekend, is there's a principle at work here that I think is hugely helpful to us. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And if our prayers, in a sense, are not so much our initiation, but something that's sparked by something a brother or sister has had on their heart, and if we're not too quick to rush in to contribute to the prayer, but happier to sit back and listen and learn, and then just wait until the Spirit prompts us to pray, then that principle is really at work, because we need to, I don't think we dare forget that the entire world system and the worldly church system is based on pride. Everything is based on pride. And so those who are living in the opposite spirit to the spirit that drives the world and the worldly church. So we can only gain by just being quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get angry, and just listen and learn. I mean, each of us reveal our theology in our prayers. The size of our God is seen in our prayers. The generosity of God is heard in our prayers. We can't help but teach each other when we're praying. There's so much to be learned from listening to each other praying. So I think it's lovely to hear these contributions tonight, because it's very clear.
Amen.
That this is what the Lord is doing. Father, we just want to praise you that you are teaching us to pray. You've called us disciples. You've called us children. You've called us sheep. None of these titles are likely to build us up in pride. We're just children. We've so much to learn. We're disciples. We never stop learning until the very gates of paradise. And we're just silly sheep who wander so quickly and are so helpless when we fall on our backs. Lord, we just bless you and praise you that you bring us down to our proper size so that you can lift us up. And we bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your mighty power that's lifting us all. Help us, Lord, just give us a gift of humility. Help us to be those who literally fight our pride. Mm. Let us spend our lives fighting our pride.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, for your glory.
Yes. Amen. 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 Mary.
As you were talking about the table, I thought there's nothing more lovely than sitting round a table and the closeness everyone has with each other.
Mm.
But previous to that, I had been thinking about Jesus leading us and we are the flock. And if we tagle too much, if you know what tagle means, tarry, we get left behind.
Mm.
And we need that closeness so that we can hear the voice. If we're tagling or getting caught up in whatever we're doing, we're losing that closeness. And if we lose the closeness, we might not hear the voice.
Mm.
And that's my prayer, really, that I would be so close that I wouldn't miss the voice.
Amen. Lovely, Mary. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that and we talked as well at the weekend about unbelief being a symptom of self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I've certainly noticed that self-reliance seems to shut Jesus out of the room. It's as if we're saying self-reliance, you know, I suppose by very definition is saying, I don't need you, Jesus. But his word, I suppose, comes completely against that, doesn't it? Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I suppose self-reliance is also not just, well, a self-reliance, I suppose, in some ways is, dare I say, calling God a liar or Jesus a liar. And I think that can often hinder prayers, can't it? When, as you know, Betty, bless her with all her honesty. I mean, I suppose if we're all being as honest as Betty, we'd probably say the same thing. You know, we're sitting here sometimes scratching around saying, Lord, help, you know, and then we're getting all worked up in our own self because we're relying upon our own thoughts to try and communicate with God. We're trying to somehow... maybe this is a bit crude, but almost force God to speak to us just with our own strength or our own mind or willpower or something like that. When actually all we need to do is, as David is saying, is just it's humility, isn't it? We're just saying, Lord, I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to trust you with all my heart. And you will speak. You're a God who speaks. You speak. All the other gods cannot speak. They have eyes, they cannot see. They have ears, they cannot hear. They have a mouth, they cannot speak. But our God is a living God who sees all, who knows all, and can speak. So that was a real eye-opener for me, self-reliance, and how much that can hinder my prayers. Take me off in the wrong direction.
Can I just, oh, sorry.
Yeah, we'll come back, Linda. Let's just go with Betty first, and then we'll come back, Linda.
Sorry, I'm just so affected by what you said, Barry. And let me think. I've recently had a birthday and I had the usual cards, but within one of the cards, somebody had bothered to write out what God thinks of me. And that, strangely enough, is so humbling when you think of how much God loves me and thinks that I am wonderfully made because he made me. And it sort of goes all against our human thinking, where it's almost this false modesty that I'm not worthy. And that is part, in a strange way, I don't really know, I'm just trying to work it out in my mind. It's part of the barrier, I think, sometimes, is we don't accept what God tells us about ourselves. And we know we're not worthy of his love. And yet he loves us. And it didn't puff me up because it was God's words, but she had taken the trouble. That was humbling in itself, that she had taken the trouble to list about a dozen things of how God loved me and what he thought of me. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone else, but I think sometimes we can be struggling so much because we do not believe that we're enough for God.
Thank you, Betty. Yeah, there's this tension, isn't it, that we've been made fearfully and wonderfully, and at the same time we're fallen. I think we tend to disbelieve God in both those. Sometimes we disbelieve God and we think we're better than we are somehow, and then there's other times whenever we have such negative thoughts about ourselves that we've gone off the balance on the other side. And it's just, you know, he loves us but hates the sin, and it's getting that balance, because we can think he hates us and love, and not he doesn't love the sin, but we can almost feel it sometimes, you know, our sin's not the problem. It's, you know, it's something about me. I'm just not, you know, do you hear what I'm saying? We're kind of sometimes go the opposite of God in those things. So yeah, he loves us. He does. Hallelujah. Sorry, Linda, did you?
It's okay. I just thank you, Betty, because it's kind of leading in. I got very distracted. Well, God did speak something, but it was connected to what I'd just done. So it was a kind of correction of where I'd assumed that I understood the scripture and told what I understood to someone else. So I had to text them to tell them what God had just said to me. But then I got distracted by a phone call, which I didn't answer. And then I turned on the chat in case it was relevant. And of course, the temptation for me was instantly to give advice. And I think that what Betty's saying is partly that I want to encourage Malcolm that God will tell him what to do rather than him asking us, because that's the opposite of self-reliance. He's actually not self-relying, but it's like, I don't know if it is that, but I know that waiting for God to tell me what to do when I can't do that is going to be a much better answer for Malcolm than me giving him a bit of advice of what I do. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what I just want to say, that because it might be for someone else as well, is to keep waiting for God to tell you and not assuming that he's not going to tell you. That, because that's the whatever Betty was talking about, that I'm not good enough to hear God. It has to be these whoever's thing, which is not the case.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for stopping me answering, Malcolm, as well.
Hallelujah. God is doing things tonight. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Just a couple of things whenever you were speaking there, Linda, which I just want to follow up on, because they're just reminding me of things discussed at the weekend and what's fresh in my mind. So the first one was the distraction, the distracting noises and distractions that you had, which was a big theme of the weekend. There was just through various things, and I hope David Andrew doesn't mind me saying about his. I'm just looking to make sure he's okay. Is he okay? Of his hearing was he was struggling with his hearing at the weekend, and he just managed to get this little device to bring with him, which we all had to speak into directly. And someone made the observation when we were passing this around, as anyone who was speaking had to receive this device, and it didn't really disrupt things. But what we realized was that what that little device did was it cut out all the noise and distraction and allowed David just to hear exactly what was being said. And we felt that was, again, God's speaking to us about how we hear him. We have learning to cut out the other noises, the other voices, the other things that are calling us, distracting us, and focusing on God. So that's one thing. And the other thing that I just wanted to say was, I think along the same lines as what you were saying, Linda, and that was, I think I mentioned it briefly at the start, was a very subtle form of self-reliance puts the emphasis on ourselves, on our ability to hear, rather than on his ability to speak. And what I'm learning is to put more trust in his ability to speak than in my ability to hear. Because I know my God knows me well enough to know how he needs to speak to me so that I know it's him. Because he can do that. He knows me. He knows how he needs to speak so that I can hear. So my trust has to be in him, in his ability to speak, rather than my ability to hear. I think when we focus on my ability to hear, we're perhaps falling for the enemy's ploy, which is to put all the emphasis on ourselves. It's a form of self-reliance. We're trusting ourselves to hear whenever we should be trusting him in his ability to speak. Okay. Caroline.
Yes, when you just said before the other spoke just now about unbelief is a symptom of self-reliance, it just made me think of the scripture in Hebrews where he says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart, because hardness of heart goes with unbelief, doesn't it? And I feel that is something that was so easy sometimes for us to harden our hearts if we're not really maybe liking what we hear or not really wanting to hear, just, you know, being picky about what we're going to hear and not hear and so on. It's hardening of our hearts, it's unbelief. And it's just linked, isn't it, with idolatry, but unbelief is the thing. So what you just said just reminded me of that scripture. And I think it's something that we must guard against, especially in these days. You know, it's very hard to have a soft heart.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think I certainly agree with that. And the self-reliance, you know, really means we've lost that sense of focus on the Lord, haven't we? And we're just sort of doing something on our own strength, and God's almost shut out from it. And as he's shut out, then we've almost lost our connection to that moment, a connection to hearing what he's saying. And it hardens up your heart, I think, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It's that kind of place where you... Hallelujah, he can...
Yeah, I think it does, but I think it's our choice, isn't it, as well?
Yes.
We need to set our will.
Yes. No, I agree. I agree. Thanks for that, Caroline. Fiona...
Right at the beginning, I got Isaiah chapter 2. I was thinking, how does this fit in? But it starts off by saying that the mountain of the Lord, the Lord's house, will be established in the top of the mountains and will be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will flow to it, and many peoples will go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. It goes on to talk about other things, but it goes on to talk about the pride of men and about idols and not trusting in man's things. But the thing that struck me was, it's the house of God, and my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we are encouraged to come. And the way into the Holy of Holies is open to us. That curtain has been torn in two from top to bottom. And God wants us to join with him in that very intimate place, that very safe and glorious place where we can learn from him. Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. You know, and I think that is what his invitation is for us to come and to listen to what he has to say to us, that we may learn his ways. And it goes on to say, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And it's listening, and then it's walking in the light that he gives us.
Amen. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you. Again, another theme that fits so well with the themes that were emerging at the weekend. And one of the things that we'd talked about on the Friday night, we talked about how the Lord wanted in, but we also said that, you know, as we allow the Lord to come in, others will come to us and say, let us in, or show us how to get in. So when we heard that, please let us in, we thought it had more than one meaning. It was first Jesus speaking to us first and foremost. But then we'd already discussed how we want others to then come to us and say, we want what you have. And I think this verse is speaking to that Fiona has just shared with us, because it's saying, The house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains is raised up, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways. So that there's people being drawn in because they want to know. They want to know more. They want this God. So thank you, Fiona. That seems very much in line. Thank you, Fiona. Mary.
I just want to go back to what Caroline was saying about the hardness of heart, because we all need a teachable spirit, and we can learn from each other, and people might say things to us, but if we're so hard-hearted, we won't listen. We all need that teachable spirit to be willing to listen and know perhaps where we've gone wrong. That's all, really.
Thank you, Mary. That's great. That is great. I think it's so important, isn't it? To be taught not just by others, but also by God, just to being open to hearing. And
yeah,
that verse even that Fiona's just shared, that he may teach us concerning his ways. You know, if we really mean that, do we really want to be taught? Do we really want to learn how to pray? Lord, teach us to pray. Do we really want to know? Well, the Lord knows our hearts. And if we really mean it, then I think he'll want to answer that prayer. And I believe he is answering it. Lisa.
Good evening, everybody. When you were, when people were speaking about the closeness, like I think it was Mary saying the closeness of people when they're sat at the table, it reminded me of, excuse me, when Jesus was reclining, wasn't he, on a disciple? And it just made me think of how different things are in our culture, where we have our chairs and we just sit there. But I think we can still have that closeness. But it just made me think about Jesus when he was laying down, because he was laying on somebody's chest, wasn't he? Was it the disciple he loved? Is it? I can't remember exactly the exact scripture, but it just made me think, wow, I was just trying to picture it in my mind, and the intimacy and the closeness they must all have with each other. And I was just thinking how there's got to have been some disciples that were quite jealous of Jesus laying on the disciples' chest, because they would have wanted to be as close to him as that disciple. And I mean, probably God could understand that jealousy, but, you know, because it's they want to know Jesus as closely as they can. And that's a kind of good thing. But yeah, jealousy is not. But yeah, that was all. It just popped in my mind.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, it was, I think it was a little bit more intimate, wasn't it, than when they ate together back in those days. So when he's referring in Revelation 3:20, which Caroline shared earlier, "Now come in and dine with me," it's a really intimate thing. Mm. It really is. And yeah, can you imagine sort of sitting at the table with Jesus like that? You know, amazing. Mm. You know? Just listening to him. Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you for that, Lisa.
Father, we do just want to thank you for who you are, for the way that you love us, the gentle way that you lead us, Lord, and the confidence we can have that you will never leave us alone. Father, I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you are doing in our lives and what you are showing us. Sometimes it makes us a little uneasy, and sometimes it upsets us. But Lord, you love us enough to discipline us and to teach us and to mold us into the shape that you want. Father, we just honor your name and worship you. You are Lord of all, King of the universe, and yet you care about the tiniest detail of each one of us. Lord, we cannot praise you as you deserve to be praised, but one day we will, because you will have completed the work you have started in us. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Lord, thank you so much that we don't have to be able to do any of this. We don't have to be able. We just have to be willing to trust you to show us how.
Yes.
Everything. Lord, thank you so much. But that's actually what you want, is for us to do that trusting in every single detail. And then I believe, anyway, glorious things come out of that, which are much better than we could ever have produced. But that's exactly what you want, because then you get the glory, because you did the whole thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a big idea.
Lord, I just want to give you all the glory and thank you for everything, Lord.
Yeah.
To just say, Lord, that I totally trust you.
Yeah.
And Lord, that you are true and your word is true. And Lord, I just want to praise you and give you all the glory. I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord.
I was thinking of it as well about the love in the action with David, David's hearing device, but you made it possible, Lord, that he, but everybody could hear simply and understand. And that's what you do.
Mm.
It isn't complicated. It's very simple, but it's also, you teach us in a way that is doable, not overwhelming. Thank you for that, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Mary. Sorry, you're on mute, Mary.
Sorry, I was just thinking about this closeness. And for some time now, I've been really praying that I would have a closeness. But the point is, there might be things in my life which are not honouring to God, and I don't know about it. And I would want God to show me these things, because however many things there are, it takes me away from the closeness. So that's been my prayer for a while now, really, that God would point out things to me that I'm not honouring to his holy name. And then show me and teach me how to get rid of them out of my life.
It's a lovely prayer. It's a lovely prayer. And I believe the Lord will answer that prayer.
I think that's a good prayer for all of us. And it needs a caution too, though, because the accuser will always look for opportunity to show us things that are wrong in our lives. And the one thing we need to be clear about is that if we feel we've come under condemnation, then it's not the Holy Spirit who's showing us, because the Lord would never bring us under condemnation to show us what's wrong in our lives. There's a lovely phrase that I got many years ago from someone else who said that God is never against us for our sin. He is for us against our sin. I think that's absolutely crucial that we remember that. And so we'll stand with you in prayer, Mary. And I know you're pretty isolated there, but there's one who sticks closer than a brother, and he will show you the way through these things. He wants you to win to the finishing post more than anybody does. So you'll get where He started the good work in you and he's carrying it on and he will finish it. So praise the Lord.
David, could you just repeat that little phrase again about he's for us against our sin?
He's never against us for our sin. He's for us against our sin.
Wonderful.
There really is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's the only safe basis on which we can ever ask God to show us our sin. Mm. There'll never be condemnation in the process.
Mm. Amen. Thank you, brother. Fiona.
Could I just add that, just a moment, I can't see me. Could I just add that we're never going to be perfect until we see him face to face? There will always be something that inhibits, but God doesn't see it, the sin, so many times. He sees us through Jesus and accepts us and loves us, and he will point out what's not right in our lives. I believe if we're listening, we're attentive and seeking his face, he will make things evident. We haven't got to go searching for them. He will show us at the right time in the right way. That's how I've found it to be. That's not to say don't show me or show me. It's very much a case of he loves us and he wants us rid of our sin, as David has just said. He's for us against our sin. And he is fighting for us to get rid of that too. He's perfecting us. And he will do it in a way that we can cope with, because he's a gentle shepherd, a loving father, and he will do it. And we can rest in his arms of love and know his mercy and compassion for us.
That's great, Fiona. I think wise words. I think they were in my spirit too, something along those lines of, again, if it's self-reliance, we've got a caution against self-reliance where we think we have to keep doing something to get closer to God. Trusting. The closer we stand to Jesus, the more we'll see the stuff, the more that will become evident, as Fiona says, we don't necessarily need to go looking for that, will manifest itself. But faith for me is what, if we can rest in him and just trust him and keep the connection through faith of trusting him to keep speaking and just being close, or having that sense of faith, I think for me is the thing that brings me closest to God, because I'm trusting him and I'm resting in him, and that's when you sense the presence. And in that place, then, as he shows you, then it's more, it's conviction rather than condemnation. So I'm cautioning myself and all of us about any form of self-reliance where I understand what you're saying, Mary, and I think there's a tension there, isn't there? Because I understand what you're saying. There's stuff in our lives that can keep us or distract us from God and that. But at the same time, there's a if it's trust that is, it brings us into Christ. And then if we're in Christ, the closeness is there. But it's the faith that's required. And if we're concerned about our behavior, if we're more focused on it, then that's a form of self-reliance which will bring unbelief, which will push him further away, if that makes sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's the faith that keeps him close. And if we focus on ourselves, that's self-reliance which pushes him away. Do you understand?
Yeah, and if we're focusing on him and looking at him all the time and worshipping or pray or reading his word or whatever, then we don't have to even take note of us. Really, until he brings us into focus, The other way is kind of, I don't know, it's not necessarily self-worship, but it's self-absorption in a way. Yes. If we're focusing on what is it that's wrong with me or what's not right with me, we're not looking at him, are we? Sometimes we can just look at ourselves and be brought down.
Yes. Amen. Father, just teach us. Teach us, Lord. These are wonderful things we're discussing this evening. Father, we all want to be closer to you. Wherever we are, Father, we want more of you. Lord, teach us the truth. Teach us. Teach us, Lord. Teach us. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so often so slow, but Father, help us to trust you, to trust. And from that place of trust, Lord, you will show us. You will lead us. You will guide us. There's nothing to fear. Because, Father, you are a good shepherd. And you know the way. If we simply trust you. If we lean not on our own understanding, trust you with all of our heart, you will lead us. You will lead us. Please come in, Lord. Please come in.
Have the song "You Are Beautiful Beyond Description." Is it right to sing it?
Please feel free, Linda.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due. We stand in awe of you.
Amen.
Thank you, Linda. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are for us. And as your word says, if you be for us, who can be against us?
Mm.
We thank you, Father, that shortly before Jesus came to be with you, he reminded the disciples that he was going to send the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
who would remind us of all things and teach us all things, because he hears from the Father and the throne room of grace and glory and majesty and splendor. Father, we thank you that because your Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us, you, Lord Jesus, and you, Heavenly Father, have also come to dwell within us, and you have made your home in us. Mm. Father, may we realize more and more the treasure that we have in our hearts. Mm. And Father, as we revel, if you like, but rejoice and celebrate our union with you, may we, Lord, seek you and your ways in greater measure. May we be more attentive to your voice. Father, we thank you that you desire to speak far more than we are ready to listen. Help us, Father, to open ourselves to receive more of what you want for us and have for us. But Father, we are your workmanship. And we bless you, Father, and thank you. There's already been said tonight that you have begun a good work in us. And you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you, Father, that what you have begun, you will finish. Mm. And we thank you, Father, that your love far exceeds anything that we could ever imagine or think. Mm-hmm. And we ask that we will be able to rest in your arms of love. And as the psalmist says, he says, be still and know that I am God. But Father, the real rendering of that is go floppy and know that I am God. Father, may we realize what a great and mighty God we have and who we serve, that we can walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for it is you who leads us, it is you who guides us. Mm. You call us to come. Mm. And Father, we ask that we would be willing to come. Yeah. We'll be willing to sit at your feet. We'll be willing to learn from you.
Yes.
And that, Father, not only would we learn from you, but we would do all that you are teaching us, that we may be light as Jesus is the light of the world, and that many would see, many would be drawn to your light in us, and that, Father, you would use each one of us as a real testimony of who you are, to your praise and for your glory. For all majesty, dominion, wisdom and power, authority and glory and strength and worship and praise and adoration and blessing and wealth belongs to you.
Amen.
Father, great is your name. You are the Holy One of Israel. Blessed be your name, Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. We rejoice and look forward to that day when we can see you as you are, and also too, Father, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory. Father, what a wonderful day there's going to be for those of us who believe.
Amen.
Lord, it will be glorious, and we thank you, and that you will motivate us to reach out to those that, if they continue on the path they're going now, will be condemned and will not know the joy of the Lord. Father, may we share what you give us to those around us as you lead us and guide us, not in our own strength, not in our own abilities, in pride and haughtiness of spirit, but a real humility where we are walking with you. And that, Father, you are the one who goes before. You are the one we are looking to. You are the one we are hearing from. And we are the ones who are doing what you are calling us to. Glorify your name, Father, in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ. Sorry, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mary?
Someone was speaking just recently, and I was reminded of a song that we used to sing in Sunday school many years ago. I don't think they sing it anymore. So I looked it up and I can read it out to you if that's appropriate.
That's great.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul doth rest. Hark, 'tis a song of heaven, born in the sweetest voice, echoed by saints and spirit, making my heart rejoice. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul doth rest.
Amen.
Safe on his gentle breast, that takes us back to what Lisa was saying.
Yes, amen. Amen it does. Thank you, Mary, for sharing that.
It just reminds me of at the beginning when I think it was Lynn that said that little things trigger things in our minds.
Amen. It's the body.
Yeah.
It's the body in operation.
Mm-hmm.
One member responding to another. All directed by the head. Okay, well, I've got one eye on the time. I'm really loath to bring this meeting to an end. So, Lisa?
Oh, mine's just a really quick one. It was just what I put in the chat when you mentioned about self-reliance and everything. And This week I was singing this song a lot because even though it's like 80s, I think, the first few lines just really often impact me, where it says, I keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I'm the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. And it reminds me, is it Paul who says the things I want to do, I can't end up doing. And then the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And yeah, this song just really helps me because it's just a very, very uplifting song for me. And I didn't know whether it would help other people as well. And my little boy's learning it as well, because he was taught about light. And then I got this song out. He was taught at light. About light at school, being 4 years old, and I said, oh, Jesus is light as well. And then thought, uh-oh, how am I going to explain this to him? But, yeah.
Thank you. Yes, you mentioned Romans 7, and David Andrews told us what happens in Romans 8, verse, no, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Because that man in Romans 7 was certainly repentant. He wanted to do the right thing, but he realized that himself he couldn't do it. He needed someone to do it in his place, and his name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Well, folks, I'm a little bit speechless. to be perfectly frank. Praise God. Praise God. That's all I think I can say. Same time tomorrow night. Lord willing, we will be back again next week. Same time, same place. And I trust that the Lord will preserve this spirit of listening, humility, gentleness, openness, honesty, and self-control. So thank you to all those who haven't spoken. Perhaps something that was they're burdened with, but they've sensed it's not right for tonight. So thank you to you, if that includes you, because you've all played your part. Those who've spoken and those who haven't have all played their part. And I trust that the head has spoken to every member of this body this evening. So until next time, shalom in every sense of the word.
Thank you, Barry.
Yes. Cool.